I direct your attention this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. To the book of Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. We will read from verse 1 through verse 7. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Amen. Again, we trust God's blessing upon the public reading of His Word for His name's sake. And let us, having read that portion, seek the Lord's grace again to help us in this portion today. Our Father in heaven, as Solomon speaks to us of the things under the sun, may we, as he, look beyond the sun that shines upon us from day to day, into the affairs of heaven. For there comes our strength, even to obey these counsels, and to walk in the ways of wisdom. In our own generation, in our own situations, and among those whom we deal with. So for the precious blood of Christ, for His great mediation on our behalf in heaven, where He bears us upon His heart, for He has loved us with an everlasting love, that He might be pleased to give us these things. In whose name we pray. Amen. In this section, beginning in verse 4, Solomon speaks of a new idea, or a new subject, about kings or rulers. Some of the things that we see, he gives us some counsels, not only on how to act outwardly, but also inwardly in these situations that he brings up, that, as I'm sure you can tell by just reading them, they're not very ideal. In fact, they're very imperfect. When we think even of our own day, of our government, and you read history, both in the Bible and secular history about governments, even good ones, this happens often, doesn't it? Things don't seem to be quite in joint, quite like we expect them to be, or really as they ought to be, ideally or theoretically. And so, it behooves us, doesn't it, to take these counsels, for we also live under the sun in an imperfect world, and every institution is affected by that imperfection, that sin, that fall. And so this first situation is in verse 4 we're going to look at, and it's really a personal situation with a ruler. It's a very personal thing. Verse 4 says, If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. I think the first thing we can say about this is that it appears to the one that is in this situation to be very serious. It's a very serious situation. The spirit of the ruler rise up against thee. If that spirit rise up against thee. What does that mean? Well, it's obviously not positive. And spirit here, I think we can just say, means the anger. What kind of spirit? What kind of attitude? What kind of view is the ruler taking of you? If you want to put yourself in this situation, to think about it. Well, anger. In Judges chapter 8 and verse 3, this is a history of the men of Ephraim, and they are arguing with Gideon about not being included in some of the battles. And so we can't read the whole thing, but verse 1 says, they did chide with him sharply. Verse 3 says, this is Gideon's answer, God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Notice, then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. But you may have a marginal reading there, because it's literally, then their spirit was abated. But you see the context. What kind of spirit? It's the anger. It's an opposition spirit. And I think that's the point here in Ecclesiastes 10:4. The spirit that's rising against this person is anger. They're not happy with you. And I say it's serious because this is not somebody that's just on par with you. Another co-worker that can't do anything to you except, you know, as we say, bless you out. And they have to walk off. This one can fire you. This one can cause you legal harm. In this case, being a ruler. If you look back at chapter 8 and verse 2 to 4, Solomon says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing. For he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? You see the danger. The king, the ruler, many times can... Obviously, Solomon knows only God ultimately and absolutely, without any hindrance, does whatsoever he pleases. But in his realm, many times the ruler, the king, does whatsoever he pleases. I mean, they think they can anyway. When Christ was being examined in John 19, by Pilate, we have the same sentiment. So Pilate came again to the judgment hall in John 19:9, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Or Pilate saying, who do you think you are? You answer me. I have authority, I have power to do what I want with you. I can have you crucified, or I can let you go. And Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. But you see the attitude. You see, and in many cases it's true. Because under God's government, He does allow and give a lot of power for these men, these rulers, to do what they want. And it comes from heaven. However far their chain is, that's the length of chain that heaven gave them. As Christ Jesus said. So say, if we come into this situation, it can be serious. Because there could be serious consequences. That's the point. They have authority. They have power to do us harm. Secondly, not only is it a serious situation, but it is brought about by personal faults. So this spirit of the ruler has risen up against us, but why? Well, if you look at that last two words there, there's great offenses. And it may not mean, I don't think we have to interpret it here, that it means this particular person offended greatly. But the remedy can, that he will talk about here in a minute, can help to pacify even great offenses. But there's some offense. There's something, at least perceived by the ruler, that you have done against him, or not done for him. And so, his anger is directed against you. It may be something you said. It may be something that we did. It may be some duty, something he wanted us to be responsible with, and we failed. We forgot, or we just didn't think it mattered that much and didn't do it. Whatever it was, real or perceived, it has provoked the ruler's mind. Think of those men in Pharaoh's day, the baker and the butler. So they both offended Pharaoh. So he cast them both into prison. And of course, they both would be troubled, and we would be too. One was restored, and one was executed. You see the point. It's a serious situation because the offenses that they did, again, rightly or wrongly, perceived or real, to the king, it's real. To the ruler, it's real. Sometimes, in the case of the butler, you come out okay. Case of the baker, you don't. And that's why it's serious. That's why it is behooves us to try to please the ruler as much as we can. But in this case, something happened. And so we want to come thirdly then to the response. What does Solomon say in this serious and this personal situation that has a view to some fault, some offense that this ruler has taken perhaps very personally himself. And he's not happy. He's angry. Well, Solomon says, "Leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses." It could be, and I think a number of commentators interpret it this way, that we're speaking here of a courtier, someone who actually works for, is in the employment of the ruler, whatever level. It could be. I'm not sure if we have to limit it to that. And definitely that would apply there. But it could be others. You know? And that have something to do with the king. Some business with him. Something like that. The ruler. but leave not thy place. Don't go out in anger. One commentator says, a more modern one, the huff. Go off in a huff. We know what that means. Probably all done it. One way or another. One situation or another. That particular commentator went on to say, it may be that the ruler himself is in a huff. It's better to have one in a huff than two. Not bad. Not a bad thought. But Solomon is saying, listen, you know, control of thy spirit. Remember Proverbs says, you know, he that is in control of his spirit is better than one that takes a city. Why is that? Perhaps one reason is because self-discipline, self-control, reining in our own thoughts and passions and desires is harder than exerting great military strength and acumen and plan and strategy to take a city. To bridle ourselves is a tall order. You know, perhaps it shouldn't surprise us, because what did Adam do? He left off bridling himself by the Word of God. He left off even his duty to his wife to be her head. He let all these things slide through. He did not govern himself or his family. And brought us into that same mindset, that same spirit, we could say, by nature. A natural thing would be to leave. He's all bent out of shape at us. Well, we'll just be bent out of shape with him, and too bad. You find somebody else to help you out. Solomon says, don't go off. Now, why does he say that? Not just because you need to control yourself, which we do. And that's a great point. Important point. But because yielding pacifieth great offenses. Yielding. It's an interesting word there. Because really, it just means to cure something. Either literally or figuratively. Here it would be figuratively. Not doing a medical cure, but a relationship cure. An attitude cure, you might say. And then the word pacify. To rest or to cease. If we yield, just the very thing of yielding has that helpfulness. And we're not responding in kind. Being meek. You're not weak. The difference. Because you're controlling yourself. I'll talk about it just a minute more in just a second. But it pacifieth. It brings to cease. It brings to rest. Great offenses. Great troubles. Great fightings. Let me just give you a couple more references there. You'll know this one very clearly. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There's that resisting the huff, we could say. Also in Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. There's more of Solomon's wisdom about yielding, about being not resistant. That's how it would be if we leave. We're going out in a resistant character. But yielding, seeking the cure. Can we say it this way? What did Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It's easy enough for us to break things up, to continue the anger, to keep stirring it up by our grievous words, as Proverbs says. By our actions of, you know, not only answering in kind, but really despising them and not caring for what else it might tear up and ruin. I think Lord Bacon said something to the effect that when we do such a thing, not only do we leave things in a bad shape, but we deprive ourselves of having anything to do with helping fix it. We completely ruined, pretty much ruined our ability there because we've left. And we've left in a bad way. So we don't even have an opportunity, perhaps, again, yielding in time. When the spirit of the ruler dies down to help fix things. We've gone. Now let's just say this. Charles Bridges points this out. I think it's very important. If it is a matter of conscience, we might need to leave. Might need to leave. Asking us to sin in one way or another. Well, that's different. He might be mad at us. The Spirit might rise against us. If God has said to do something or not to do something, and they're putting pressure on us the opposite way, then that's a matter of conscience. We would need to leave if it came to that point, come what may. But in all these things, in not leaving when it's not a matter of conscience, so we can try in the end when as His wrath is spent to help pacify, to help cure, to help mend some of the ideas in these words here. The problem, the offense, whether it was really ours or perceived to be ours and it really wasn't ours. Or if we must truly leave, it's a conscience and suffer for it. The question is, how do we do it? Is it just the superior natural wisdom? Or for the Christian, is it something higher? I'll submit to you it's something higher. Because we can look at this very good piece of wisdom here and think, you know, for my own benefit, and I want to say, God is after our own benefit. No good thing, the Bible says, will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. But we can be a natural man or woman or child and selfishly just want everything to go good for ourselves. Have no view, no concern with the glory, the honor of God. Remember, we just read in God's providence this morning, in Acts chapter 27. I don't know why I keep saying 27 today. But anyway, Acts 26. And Paul's giving his testimony before King Agrippa. And also his commission that he received from Christ. And one of the things he says in verse 18 that he is to do is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And he goes on and says in a couple verses later, verse 20, that when he was going around preaching, that they should repent and turn to God and to do works meet for repentance, suitable or according to repentance. If we are those that have believed in God and received the forgiveness of our sins, we're receiving an inheritance among those. And who are those? Them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Those that are doing works meet for repentance. And is it not one of those works to be gentle, to be humble, to be long-suffering? I should just probably read in Colossians 3 these graces, these fruits that would apply right here in this text of not leaving our place, but yielding that it might pacify great offenses. We are to put on in chapter 3 of Colossians verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." I want to just say, you know, election, the doctrine of it, the belief of it, the knowledge of it, should not make us fatalists and idle and slothful in our spiritual lives. Apostles don't know anything about that. There's the grace of God. It's a working principle. As we saw Wednesday night, it produces things. And here's some of the things it does. It gets us that grace to put on, therefore, as the elect of God. We're the holy ones, the beloved ones. What? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Brethren, if we're going to stay, if we're going to have that humbleness of mind, that long-suffering, that patience, that desire to make peace with that ruler that has been stirred up to us, let's just say because we did offend, put it in the worst possible state, we did offend, in whatever way, yet let us humble ourselves by God's grace. Let us look at the Christ and ask Him for that character that He gives us to put on as His elect, as His holy one, as His beloved, that we might yield and pacify great offenses. You know, the commands of Scripture are to be obeyed, and here's one of them. If we're going to delight in obeying the commandments, as the psalmist in Psalm 119 so often tells us. In fact, Paul says the renewed man in Romans chapter 7 delights in the law of God after the inner man. The principle of grace in the Old New Testament is the same. We delight in the law of God, in His commandments. We must know the forgiveness of sins first. We must know that Christ has forgiven our trespasses, our going over the line. Trespassing is stepping over the line of God's commandments. Or iniquities, where we have perverted ways of going out to the side of them. And our sins has the idea of coming short of the mark, missing it, aiming it but not hitting. We've not lived up to, you could say, the commandments of God. If we would forgive others, if we would be long-suffering to others, if we would yield, we must know that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you and me. That He, even if we're wrong, He'll give us grace to be humble. He'll stand with us through the trial. And we're looking to Him to give us that opportunity to mend up, to cure, to break the rift between ourselves and the ruler. That then would be giving glory to Christ. That would be then being able to say to them, naturally, I would have just left you. Maybe I said some things to you I shouldn't have. But God's grace has forgiven me and given me humility. And I want to try to patch this up with you. He may not understand it. He may think you're a nut. I don't know. Depends on the person. But he will say, there must be some kind of God, because I don't know anybody else who does that. And Christ and the Father will have glory of you. Their natural tendency, isn't it? And He knows that. That's why He's all been out of shape at you. Is to do just that. When something doesn't go your way, or somebody offends you, or something does you wrong, rubs you the wrong way, fails you in some way you didn't expect or shouldn't have. But let us look to the Lord, who's patient with us, who forgives us, and pray. If we find ourselves and may not be a ruler, most of us maybe not work for a king, a congressman, legislator, whoever, judge. Some may. I'm not saying you won't. But there's other people that are over us, that have a rule or dominion. And of course, this word ruler is used of all types of people that have dominion, of all levels in the Old Testament. But let us be patient. Let us yield. Let us look for the cure by God's grace. Christ gives us that very thing. And maybe we've left our place in a huff, in anger ourselves. We did not yield. And so there's not really much of a hope for any kind of mending together, patching stuff up. Well, what does Jesus say through His apostle? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Go to Him. You may not even think you can forgive yourself. The Holy Spirit presses upon you. Maybe we've done things of that nature. They're very deep, very hurtful, and maybe never been able to be resolved on this earth. But you can know the forgiveness, the cleansing, the remission of your sin through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask Thee, Lord, to help us. For this very text that Solomon gives to us by inspiration is contrary to our nature. It's contrary to our pride and our self-respect and our rights, as we like to say. But we ask Thee, O God, that the meekness of Christ would be in us. Well, not weakness, as we see him there answering Pilate. He was not afraid of Pilate. He spoke the very truth that only God gives any ruler the power and authority and the extent thereof that he may have. So Lord, may we remember these things and regard rulers in such a fashion that they are the agents of heaven. They have delegated authority. Not supreme and not original, but delegated. And yet, Lord, give us that, not only that courage, but that meekness, that long-suffering, that peaceableness, that willingness, Lord, to patch things up at the opportunities that heaven may give us. The Lord, cleanse our minds from the often selfish and self-seeking lives we live, even in these situations. Help us to look heavenward, to see even ourselves by the grace of God alone, to be used in peacemaking as Thou wilt give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.